You're listening to the Two Preachers Talking Podcast, a place where the love of God and moderate thinking come to life. And now, here are the two preachers, Marty and John.
Hey, welcome back to the podcast. I'm Marty.
And I'm John.
And we are the Two Preachers Talking, coming to you from the beautiful Shenandoah Valley on a nice summer day. A summer day, well, it's a little overcast, but John and I are inside doing some recording, so we're comfortable. We're also back at my house recording this episode. It's been a while since, not only since we've done a podcast, John, mm-hmm. It's been a while since we've been here at the house to do it.
Yeah, we took it on the road there for a little bit, did some at some coffee mm-hmm. shops. It's good to kind of have some quiet space to get started again.
And speaking of, you know, the podcast, as we said, you know, it's been over a year, almost a year since we did a podcast. I looked at it, it was in October of last year that we did one. A lot's going on for, I think, John and I a little bit. And so, you know, we've just not had the time we need to do it. But John, it's good to get back together and to do some recording. So how's your morning been going?
It's good. How about yours?
Been going well. Just doing some church catch up.
I get it.
John will tell a little bit about his story in a little bit, what's going on, why he's didn't do church stuff this morning.
No church catch up this morning. I may try to do some stuff this afternoon, actually. But hey, we'll make it happen. We'll talk about that some. I did want to tell you about my adventurous night last night, though, Marty.
I do need to hear about your adventurous evening.
So here's what happened. So my kids are, of course, aware that we're starting the new podcast season, and we're trying to get this going. So last night, I make a trip to Lowe's. Took our oldest, whatever, it's a Lowe's, to pick up some drywall and some boards and stuff for a little project we're doing. So we left the ratchet strap down on the bottom of the truck bed, loaded all the materials up, and realized that the ratchet straps were under the drywall and all the lumber and all those things. And so as I am figuring out the easiest thing for us to do at this point is to go inside, buy new ratchet straps, because it's just not worth unloading all the other stuff. And who doesn't need more ratchet straps, right?
So, well, I was going to say,
anyway, who doesn't need more? So I went inside, bought a couple of ratchet straps. I'm outside. This thing, it's physically impossible, Marty, to get a set of ratchet straps out of the plastic casing in a parking lot without tools. I thought it was just going to be this easy, like, pop, 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 pop. We're not, no, it was a, I thank goodness I had a razor blade in the truck, and the little ties they use, they have metal in them. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, it's not like this, you know, plastic.
Right.
Yeah, so we're trying to get, so my son looks over at me and he goes, so, Dad, let's go make it on the podcast tomorrow? And I said, well, what do you think, like, what would the topic be to get this on the podcast? And it was, you know, how we've gotten to a place in the world where we have to, you know, the total depravity of man, basically, is represented in the fact that you have to have six metal straps to hold in a ratchet strap so that somebody doesn't steal it from the store, and the provision of God to have a razor blade in the truck, because all good gifts come from our Father, and in that moment a good gift was a razor blade to get it out. So yeah, so you want it on the podcast. So there you go, bud. Told the story.
There you go.
That's what fatherhood's about, right?
That's exactly right. All this stuff in plastic now is in plastic, and it's just that sealed stuff that you can't get anything out of anymore. And then you tear it open and you think, I hope I don't have to return this.
Exactly.
Although ratchet straps, normally you don't have to return.
Yeah, because, I mean, by the time I got done with it, it did look like a bear had tried to, it was quite embarrassing. And, of course, you're out there, and you know all these guys are laughing at you. Like, what kind of person doesn't have ratchet straps told something? Well, it's not that I didn't have them. Yeah. Okay, they were under the run of the drywall, and I don't know.
Well,
so you already feel stupid, and then you look stupid trying to open up. It's a humbling experience.
Especially at Lowe's.
Yeah. It was bad. So anyway, but that was my evening. It was adventurous. How about you?
Well, I didn't have anything dealing with the ratchet strap last night. So, we stayed home. Didn't do much. I think we went to Walmart for a little bit. You know, that's an adventure in itself to even go to Walmart.
Oh, man.
You know?
Oh, man. Have you seen that thing that goes around that says, do you need Jesus to get to heaven? And somebody says, dude, you need Jesus to go to Walmart. Like, amen to that, brother. Amen to that.
Well, they have all their carts, you know, outside, and so they're starting to get where they need to get new ones now because the wheels are starting to get where they stick. Then got in there, and there were like three of them, and the one guy told the other guy, he said, you're not going to be able to get those out. Those three are all stuck together. I'm telling you, John, those three carts were stuck together. I finally got me one, and it had been raining all night. We had rain here, you know, last night, and so they were all wet, so we had to, you know, get our cloth and wipe them all down. But, yeah,
that was our adventure. And then you came home, watched the Nationals blow a lead in the ninth?
Well, you know, I actually went to bed before the ninth inning because it was 5-1 Nationals.
And you thought.
I thought, they got this one. Yeah, they'll bring in a couple of their good relievers. Well, that didn't happen, so they lost 6-5. On a walk-off home run, I guess, last night. So
there you go.
And tonight starts football season?
Football season.
Oh, well, I guess football season actually started last week in college.
No, it didn't, because Tech lost to ODU, okay? The second that Tech loses to Old Dominion, football season is pushed back a week. That game doesn't count.
I'm thinking it doesn't count. It's a new season, new coaching staff. Everything is new for them right now. Although we went to the JMU game, and they and their first game as an FBS team, and they just blew out the team they played, 44-7. So it was a good game. So tonight starts actually NFL football.
Yeah.
John's got his Washington Commanders hat on here.
I got a new team to root for this year, baby. We got a new team. I finally got a name. I had to root for a team with no name there for a while. So I got to tell you.
And they played like a team with no name.
I will tell you that I do still refer to them as the Redskins. And many folks have said, you know, they're the Commanders. And I've told them that I will call them by a new name when they start acting like a new team. But as long as they're still doing the old stuff, I'm just going to call them by the old name.
They should have changed their colors and everything.
No. Let's not get crazy now.
Okay.
All right. The colors got to stay. The colors. Okay. I mean, come on now. So what we got on the tap for today, Marty? What's happening?
Well, you know, we just wanted to kind of reintroduce ourselves, I guess, in a way, didn't we, John? Talk a little bit about what's gone over the past year. We've met a couple of our fans again that just in certain areas, and they kind of have asked when we're coming back. And so we're kind of glad this is happening today. You know, we'll figure out times to do this and get back into our sort of a routine the best we can. We have some ideas for some shows. And so, John, I was thinking, you know, it probably could be some of it a new format or, you know, how we might do things, or it might be just a new look and how we share what we are thinking. It's going to be an opportunity to have guests. We do have some ideas with some guests, don't we? Mm-hmm. I think you've already maybe chatted with a couple of folks, maybe?
Yep, we got some guests coming up. We got some ideas for some shows, maybe an idea for new formats, all sorts of fun stuff to reboot.
And tell them what you did, what we've done.
So when this podcast drops, you'll notice we got a new logo. What might I say? We look good. I mean, we look good.
The reason we're doing podcasts is we have faces for podcasting.
That's right.
So we until had to you find, see our new logo.
That's right. We had to find somebody. We had to say, can you make us look good? And after the first 50 people said, I got nothing for you, we finally found a guy who wouldn't know. So we do have some new logos. We hope you check them out. Share them if you can. Just a new little look. So it's going to be fun.
So hopefully maybe John will drop that later today as he's... He's doing this, and you can see what that looks. We'd love for you to tell us what you think.
No, we don't. Yeah. Okay. You can tell us about the artwork. Just don't tell us what you think about us.
Like, that's what we mean. That's what I mean.
My complexion looks great. And there's no gray. The first thing Jessica says is, well, how come you didn't put any gray in your beard?
You notice mine didn't have any either, but see, I'm bald blonde anyway. Yeah. So, you know, it's not much way you can mess it up with in a picture.
Although
the first one came out, he didn't put my glasses on, didn't he?
No, he did, and he gave you some dark eyebrows, but it's all good. Yeah. We got it fixed.
Yeah, we got it fixed.
Yeah. So. That's the first thing my loving wife said. Where's the gray in your beard? Ain't you funny?
I mean, my year's been not as eventful in the same sense as what yours has been. I think everybody knew in October that you guys were expecting a little one.
Mm-hmm.
And that blessed event occurred in February.
February the 9th.
And it occurred at UVA.
It did.
So, John, tell us how things have gone, because that's been a process.
Yeah, it has been.
And you can tell other things that have been going on, too. But
yeah. So, basically, Marty, I mean, we're right at the year, just over a year, since Jessica and I found out that we were going to have another, and we announced it just about a year ago. And we knew from the first appointment that our daughter was going to be born with a condition called a congenital diaphragmatic hernia. It affects about one in every 25,000 live births or so.
Mm-hmm.
Through our journey, basically through the whole time, they were quite hopeful about Livy and our daughter's name is Olivia Grace. They were pretty hopeful that hers was going to be not so severe and, you know, was going to be a, it was going to have some challenges, but, you know, in the context, mm-hmm. things wasn't going to be as bad as they had seen. And then our last doctor's appointment, so it was the end of last January, we went for an ultrasound. And the doctor said, no, this is much more serious than we thought this whole time. And so he actually said, so you're staying in Charlottesville? And we were like, no, we're going home. And he was like, no, I wasn't really asking. I was informing you. Uh-huh. You're staying in Charlottesville. And so we did. We came home for 2 days so that we could, you know, get the other kids squared away and all the things we need to. And so we spent, we got over to UVA the last week in January. Olivia was born on February the 9th. And we stayed in UVA until almost the last week in March. Mm-hmm. So we were there for a while. Olivia was in the NICU from the moment she was born until she came home on August the 22nd. Mm-hmm. So she spent 194 days in the NICU. Mm-hmm. She was on life support called ECMO. She was on life support for 13 days of that. When she was 14 days old, she had a 16-hour surgery to basically a diaphragmatic hernia. The diaphragm on the right side of her body didn't develop. It just wasn't there. Mm. And so her stomach and her liver and all of her guts had shifted into her chest. So she basically didn't have a left lung. Mm-hmm. Her heart was developed on the wrong side of her body, and then all of her guts and stuff were just all different. So the surgery went in and pulled everything back down where it needed to be, created her a synthetic diaphragm muscle. And then it was just waiting to see how her body mm-hmm. was going to respond. It's scary to think about. The day that we sat and talked with the doctors, I mean, they gave her a 20% chance of survival. Mm-hmm. Especially for the first 2 months, mm-hmm. They were just not all that sure about right. where she was going to end up. And so we've spent the past 6 months driving to UVA, if not every day, about every day. Mm-hmm. Lots of time in doctors and you know, rehabilitation, respiratory therapy. We have learned more about all that stuff than we ever could have imagined. Mm-hmm. You know, so that has been one of the reasons, probably the main reason, why we haven't been podcasting.
You know, your situation changed quite a bit. Took a lot more time.
Yeah.
And it needed to be. John, I think you needed to spend more time in that area than we needed to do a podcast. So
yeah. Yeah. One even now, so I'm on leave from church for the month of September.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I gotta tell you, man, like our church, like shout out to Mount Zion, because they have been utterly amazing for Jessica and I throughout this whole process, and just so supportive. And boy, I can't talk enough about how, you know, the church has supported us and been there for us, because it has been, man. It has been.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you figure most days. I mean, it's 3 hours just to get to UVA and back.
Yeah.
And so you then add any kind of a visit on there. Most days we were over there for the majority of the day. Mm-hmm. You know, Jessica or I won. And then you add on top of that, there were days we took multiple trips because, you know, doctors needed stuff. And so,
yeah.
You know, but, you know, praise God, Olivia is home, and she is, not only is she doing great, I mean, she is surpassing so many of the things. Mm-hmm. Like, one of the biggest stories was they told us pretty early that she was probably going to have to be on some sort of oxygen for the first few years of her life.
Mm-hmm.
Towards July-ish, they started talking to us about a tracheotomy, that she was probably going to have a trach tube mm-hmm. for the first beginning parts of her life. I mean, that's scary. I mean, that's scary stuff. Long story short, I mean, by nothing less than the hand of God, Olivia came home with no oxygen, no respiratory support, mm-hmm. nothing. She has a feeding tube. She gets her medicines through that just because her stomach isn't quite ready to
sure.
take stuff. Mm-hmm. But to come home with no oxygen,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you're talking about a baby who was essentially born with half of a lung.
Yeah.
Because her right side was compromised too, right? Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. she was essentially born with half a lung, and she is at home, you know, thriving really.
Yeah.
So yeah, God's been good, man.
And she even got to ride my car yesterday.
She did. So. Old Uncle Marty picked her up. Well, you know, I told her, I said, man, we got home, and I said, now look, it was a Chevy, so we're glad you got home. We're glad you got home. But yeah, she got to ride.
I got a good deal on it. Okay.
That's it. I understand.
You know, even in the midst of that, we've had opportunities to get together and have breakfast every so often, or coffee.
We have. Marty's kept me safe because, I mean, man, along the way, like, our car got broken into and got our catalytic converter stolen off of it. We had two different rounds of COVID in our house to where, like, we were stranded. We couldn't come home.
Yep.
But so, like, my parents were at our house for, like, a month, and different kids got COVID. So we had that happen. Remember, Ethan got MRSA. Our one son got... while we were over there from something. So he got, like, extremely sick. I mean, we just had, like...
And that was right at the beginning,
too. Right at the beginning. Yeah. We got home, and our propane heater went out in our house, so we had no heat for a while. I mean, it was just like, man, for like 60 days there, it was like, mm-hmm. what in the world is going on? And Marty would keep me sane on most days, which we really appreciate. I mean, for those of you guys who don't know, I mean, outside of Marty and I doing the podcast, like, Marty, you really served as Jessica and I's pastor throughout this whole thing, which, by the way, pastors, if you don't have a pastor, you should get one. But for times like this, because it was really cool to have you there and to pray with us and walk with us along the way. And, you know, whenever Livy was doing something, Marty was on the phone praying with us. And, yeah. you know, you were kind of that person we could talk to, and we needed that. But yeah, there were many days where I was calling you. I was like, dude, you will never guess what happened today. You know,
yeah,
like,
I would get a text or something with a picture and said, look what she's doing. Yeah. I felt like I was part of the family.
That's it.
Most of the time. And one of the other things is both of us joined Panera Sip Club. So,
oh, dude.
You know, we pay, well, right now it's what, $10 a month or something like it.
Yeah.
And you get unlimited coffee, and now it's lemonades drop. I think it's $12 a month, but you get lemonades too. So yeah. I'm getting coffee in the morning, and if I'm out of town, I'm getting lemonades in the afternoon.
Yeah.
By the end of the week, I've already paid for my sip club.
That's
so
it.
We should tell the story about our experience down in Charlottesville getting ready to go to Panera.
Oh, man, dude. Like, the sip club thing really came from Olivia, right? Because
you started it.
Yeah, when we started it, UVA at the time, their coffee, their like community coffee place was not open because mm-hmm. of COVID, and all the hotel where we were staying at, their coffee was just bad, and so I needed coffee. So I decided, and if somebody from Panera is listening to this, I'm really sorry that you're about to hear this from me, but I'd figured out there was a Panera within like 2 miles of where we were staying, and they did it the first month free for this coffee club. I was like, man, yeah. I can get the first month free. I will be here for a month. I will get free coffee for the month, and then I will cancel that bad boy out, because frugality is next to piety in the Church of the Brethren, by the way. So I'm being a good brethren by thinking this way.
Uh-huh.
So I sign up for this free month. I'm telling Marty, I'm like, dude, I'm going to get free coffee the whole month. I can go to Panera every hour and get a cup of coffee. Well, it ended up being such a good deal. We stuck with it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
still in it.
You know, if you drink coffee, I mean, I will drink $12 worth of Panera coffee every month.
In the warm weather, it's been nice to go get a lemonade now.
Yeah, so shout out to Panera. You should go do that. But yeah, so we met one morning, and you came over to Charlotte. We were going to go have breakfast one morning. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And they were closed.
Yeah, we figured 9:30. You know, that's what I got down there, and I picked you up at 9:30. So that'll be open, because it's open here.
Yeah, no.
They were open. They weren't open until 10:30.
10:30, man.
For breakfast.
What in the world?
So we had to scatter around and find us a coffee shop. One of them was going to be on campus. We decided we didn't want to do that. And then the other was an old Shenandoah Joe's,
mm-hmm.
remember? Because the one here is now Coffee Hounds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're giving away a lot of names of places. No, that's okay. Coffee. But we went down there and had it wasn't the same, because we had to pay for our coffee.
That's it.
But we managed. So, yeah, we've enjoyed that a little bit in the midst of all of this. You know, past those first couple of months, I mean, things really kind of settled down. It was just trying to figure out when can she come home?
Yeah.
When she come home?
Yeah, and that was, she had moments, you know. But, I mean, really, it was just a hurry-up and wait game. Because you can't grow lung any faster than you can grow lung, right?
Yeah.
And, but I tell you, Marty, like, when I step back, like, I had somebody ask me the other day, like, what are the things that God showed you through this?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a few, but one of them is, like, how much we need each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know Jess and I, like, we're kind of an anomaly in that, you know, we now have 6 children.
Mm-hmm.
We needed help.
Yeah.
But throughout that, like, the amount, I don't understand how we walked into that NICU and the amount of families there that did not have support systems like we did. Right. I'm like, man, how do you make this happen? Because we had, like, a church, we had friends, we had neighbors, we had family of all these people that are helping us.
Mm-hmm.
And there were so many people in there, they had nobody. You know, yeah. And like there were single parents in there that, you know, they didn't even have their significant other, the mm-hmm. other parent of the baby there. And you're yeah. just like, how do you do this? And so like the biblical framework of how much when it says bear one another's burdens, like that mm-hmm. means so much more to us,
mm-hmm.
You know, throughout this journey, because we literally could not have done this without other people.
Right.
It just wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, you had a great support group around you,
yeah.
your family and your church folks. And then there were other churches praying for you and,
yeah.
you know, offering you things that maybe you never thought about until you really stepped into the other side
of
what a pastor can experience when he's working with his congregants.
Yeah, yeah.
And you almost became one. And really, in a sense, you kind of did. I mean, you had this event now that you now need what you've always given.
Which, by the way, is extremely uncomfortable. I mean, it really is.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
It is extremely uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I mean, and so I have so much more of a respect now. When I'm like, oh, you know, you go see your parishioners and you're like, well, what can the church do to help? And they're like, oh, nothing. We don't need anything. And I realize, like, how awkward it is to be the guy like, oh, well, about that, here's what we could use.
Yeah.
You know, and so by the end, we were a little bit more comfortable being mm-hmm. able to do that. But, man, at the beginning, like, it was hard. It was hard to ask for help. I think the other thing too, Marty, is just like, so throughout this process, you know, Jessica and I, we developed a pretty good relationship with all these people.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one person in particular who we had spent lots of time with. She was one of the care team members, of Olivia's care team. And I remember one night I was in there, I was visiting her at night, and the lady said, you know, I heard you're a pastor. And I said, yeah. And she was like, I got to tell you, she said, I have really bad church experience. And she's like, I could tell you some horror stories of, mm-hmm. and she said, I've walked away from faith. I've walked away from God. I don't believe in any of it anymore. And she was like, but like getting to know you and getting to know Jess and the way of which you have walked through this situation. She was like, I don't know that I'm ready to believe in God again,
mm-hmm.
but man, you're making it hard not to. And I don't say that to be arrogant, but to say how we live matters to
mm-hmm.
people.
Mm-hmm.
Like at the end of the day, for me, presenting the gospel is not just about handing somebody a tract or sitting on a toilet seat or preaching on the street corner. I mean, those things all have their context. They mm-hmm. I'm not saying those are bad. That we were able to speak to that girl, you know, and I don't know, like, I don't know if she will ever find her way back to Jesus, but just mm-hmm. the fact that she was like, you're making it hard not to believe in God mm-hmm. just, you know, through this. And I think that's a message that we need to talk more about in the church, is how we live matters. Like, mm-hmm. that matters to folks. And so Jessica and I often talked about that, like, because we believe, like, the Holy Spirit lives in us. Jesus lives in us. So when we walked into the NICU, like, we always felt like we're carrying the presence of Jesus into this place.
Mm-hmm.
So not only are we here to visit Olivia, not only are we here to be with Olivia, but we're also carrying the Spirit of God. So we should be praying for others and thinking about others and, you know, just doing what we can to serve while we're here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have one moment, Marty, where I told you the story. Like, I lost it. I lost it. I was very angry about something, and I was not very nice. And the nurse practitioner knew it. And I called them back, like, an hour later, and I was like, I just need to apologize to you. Like, I'm stressed. I'm hurting inside. And that was unacceptable for me. Mm-hmm. The one nurse was like, the fact that you even called back and apologized, she's like, I can't even fathom it. It's like, but it matters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to be that person. I want to show the love and grace of mm-hmm. Jesus and just how important that is in our lives. Like, that has just been so much more etched into Jessica and I through this. Is even going through, like, mm-hmm. the worst hell that we could go through. Mm-hmm. Man, we still have to find ways to take Jesus to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like that's what y'all tried to do, is you kind of walked what you were living. Even in the moment, I mean, you're still human at times, too.
Right.
And you go through these moments, I mean, because you guys have been through quite a bit. You've been through quite a bit. I mean, there's the uncertainty of what's going to happen, the uncertainty of when she's coming home, uncertainty of all these little things. And so here you are walking around and you're trying to figure out, you know, we're in this mess now because, you know, we're seeing now what some of our congregation members experience. Mm-hmm. You know, and I come in for maybe an hour and just visit and pray, and that's all I can really do. But for them, they're living this moment of sometimes there's hope, sometimes there's hopelessness, and sometimes there's certainty, sometimes there's uncertainty, and they need that presence. And I would imagine, I can't imagine what it must be like to work in the NICU every day, and you see these little ones that could or could not live. Yeah. You know, you had, it was interesting to walk in there to see, you know, when you think of the NICU, you think of the little preemies and little babies that are just big enough to sit in your palm of your hand, and there's your little girl.
She was 20 pounds. she was a giant.
Yeah, and so it was new experience for them, you know, in the midst of it all. So, you know, a new experience for you. And so now part of it is how do you carry that into your role as pastor, and that now you have a new experience to share with others. Not the same experience, but you have that experience of being in almost the patient in some sense, the being the family member of a patient. And so now you can walk in a different way than some of us can't in the midst of it all.
Like Jess and I talked about how, from what we gathered, it almost feels like, man, they need like a separate chaplain for the NICU, because it's a different animal, and it's a different atmosphere. And those nurses, I mean, there is no doubt in my mind that the care team that cared for Olivia, they were handpicked by God. They have to be. But just to watch like that, and you almost get numb to it. And yes, Olivia's situation was very, like, I love people are like, yeah, we were in the NICU, you know, because our daughter was early. And like, there's even a difference in somebody being born early and being born with a pretty severe health deformity, you know. And there were babies that we saw that went home, and there were babies we saw that didn't make it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And just watching, because we were in there for such a long time, you know, we weren't in there for a couple days or even a couple weeks. We were there for 6 months.
Right.
Over 6 months worth of time. Like we became friends with folks in there, and we knew the babies and we knew their stories, and whoo, man, it'll rock your world if you let it. But at the same time, the flip side of that is, I think as Christians, not only does it matter how we carry it, but then when we don't carry it, go back and do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the other side. Like, there were times, like, I don't want to sit here and be like, yeah, we handled this perfect. We did not. Like, I actually just preached a sermon at Mount Zion the other week about how, like, there's a part of me that doesn't feel worthy for what God has done because of the ways we struggle with fear and anxiety and all these things throughout this journey. But when we do fail, like, I think we as Christians need to try to make it right, to make that phone call and say, like, I'm sorry, I did not handle that how a Christian should handle that. Or I'm sorry, you know, like, so many times as Christians, like, this is my opinion, people don't lose faith in Christ because we fail. I think more people lose their faith in Christ because we fail and we seem not to care about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, when a Christian does something bad, okay, Christians are going to do something bad. But then it's like, when a Christian does something bad and then doesn't feel remorse, doesn't feel sorry, doesn't try to make it right, I think that's actually more of the problem. Like, I know Christians are going to fail. But then when you just kind of turn around, you're like, oh, it's all good, don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think sometimes as Christians, and that's the what we... was important for us to remember throughout this journey, was when we do fall short and we are stressed, like, at least try to come back and be like, look, we're sorry. What can we do to, you know,
right.
I don't know. Does that make sense? That awareness of, like, we're walking in here with Jesus.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there were other couples that certainly were. Like, we met some other couples.
I'm sure.
They were Christians, and we were able to support one another. You know, Olivia's primary care nurse, she was a believer, and I mean, those things matter, but then just to remember, like, I think for all of us, whether it's the NICU, whether it's where you work, whether it's where you go to school, whatever it is, like, if we could all just remember, like, we literally carry Jesus in with us even in the hardest places, because, man, I would not wish what we've been through on my worst enemy. And so that, I think that's the other big piece that we've come out of this. And I know for you, man, you've had a rough couple of weeks too. How you guys holding up? Doing okay?
We're doing okay. I think church is doing fine right now. I mean, we've walked through a pretty difficult season over the past few weeks when losing not only four people, but two within like less than 3 days and in difficult situations.
Yeah.
So it's been kind of rough on our church. We appreciate your church. They sent us flowers, and it was very nice to receive those. And hopefully y'all got your card. I think I put the right address on there. So, I think things are going well. I'm managing through it a little bit. You know, it's hard on... I think that pastors, we're still human, like we said, you know, mm-hmm. that we carry a lot of emotional baggage at time. And I was talking with someone yesterday, and I just said, you know, the hard part is you're trying to stand strong in the midst of situations when you really just want to not. So yeah, it's been a rough few weeks, and but yeah, we're getting through. Nothing like what you've had to because it's not my experience with the you know, these families are experiencing things that are very difficult in their life, and so we have to sort of walk with them, you know, in this moment. But personally, it's a little different for me. Other than that, you know, things have been going well. You know, still trying to. You know, manage the church through. I still think we're trying to manage our churches through post-COVID experiences. Just trying to get people back and making sure people are healthy. You know, we did have the experience of. I know you missed it. You know, we went to both conferences. I did with some. Went to annual conference and then went to National Youth Conference. And I would say a shout out. I finally got to meet Brandon Gall at.
Brandon's awesome.
At
I'm jealous. I didn't get to spend any time with Brandon.
I saw him. He was raising his hand when he shouldn't have. No, I'm just kidding.
We saw it.
Yeah, him and I'm sure Dwayne will hear us sometime. He and Dwayne Painter sat together until Dwayne had an incident happen. You know, he had to leave a little early. But so it was good to meet him. I guess it's the last time I've you know, got to see a couple of the folks that we've interacted with or had on who enjoy our podcast. I mean, our one or two listeners we have.
So you got to meet 50% of the audience. It's pretty good. Me, I got to stay home and watch on the live stream in my pajama pants. So, I mean, really, I won. I didn't have to get on an airplane.
I guess I could have worn my pajama pants.
I mean, you could have, but, you know.
Oh, and my plane trip was an experience at the beginning.
Well, that's it. You went everywhere in the country except for where you're supposed to go. I mean,
I've been to Denver. I was in Denver twice in, a month.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, and I mean, the farthest place I went was to the back porch.
Yeah.
It's still in my pajama
pants. It took me 2 days to get to Omaha, and I flew.
That's pretty good. But, you know, it feels like, Marty, like maybe that's the other thing to, like, bring out here. Like, if you're listening to this and you're a pastor, like, make sure you have somebody to help care for you, right? Like, whether it's what you've been through because, I mean, no matter what, like, when you lose people from your congregation, they're your friends, they're people you care about. That if you're a pastor listening to this, like find somebody to help care for you, like another pastor, a mental health professional, somebody to help you. And if you're not a pastor and you're listening to this, like make sure your pastor does, like be that supportive person. Cause I can tell you, man, it's just, you know, it's a different world. It's a different world. Like you said, because when you feel like in some ways you have to hold it together, everyone kind of turns and says, oh, the pastor's cracking here. What are we going to do? You know? And so it has been. So I hope that everybody here will find that place.
And I think that's been a big thing to talk about is just how do we care for ourselves and our mental health at times too. And, you know, I think as pastors, we just need to be mindful of the fact that we have folks who are dealing with issues like that. And, and we do too.
Yeah.
You know, and it affects our emotional well-being. It affects our spiritual well-being sometimes is that we're not, and people say, well, it shouldn't happen to you. Well, why not?
Yeah. So I had a standing rule, and I so appreciate it. I would tell folks, like, I have a lot on my mind, I have a lot on my heart, and there may be a moment where if I'm in a meeting or we're doing something, like, I may just have to stand up and walk away for a few minutes. And don't please don't make a big deal about it. Just please let me do that. And there were a few times where, like, we were in meetings, we were having intense discussions or things like that where I would just have to, like, excuse myself, walk out of the room. Not that anything was wrong. Like, it was just, some of it was really good, but, like, emotionally, I just knew I was on edge.
Yeah.
Because of what was happening. And to have, like, people around me that knew that and respected that and wouldn't look at me weird when I came back and sat down. And so I think as pastors, like, even if we talk about that, because nobody would have known. But thank goodness, like having a group of people around that I was comfortable enough and free enough to say, like,
right.
Hey guys, this is a reality of where I'm at. And I think sometimes we as pastors, like even you know, when we have been going through a lot of that, to be able to say, like, hey, I know I'm not at my best right now.
Yeah. So the podcast turned a little different than I thought it would.
Yeah, but it's good.
You know, we were going to talk about just our journey through the past year. But I think that you brought up a lot of topics, and I think just because of your experience, it brought out some newness of what it means to be a pastor sometimes, but to also be on the other end, to be the receiver of pastoral care and the need for pastoral care, is that we're so much that one that gives, 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 that sometimes we forget that it's okay to receive, receive, receive. But I think we also need to make sure that even our folks know that there are times when we need to receive something and we need your help and we need your care.
Yeah.
Just, you know, it's not a cry to say, oh, please, you know, help me in this moment, but just to remind them that, you know, we're still human too.
Yeah.
And even though we give a lot of our time and our effort and our life to our church, it's draining.
Mm-hmm.
It's draining mentally, emotionally, spiritually sometimes. And we just need to be mindful of that for ourselves, but also when our churches are out there and they hear our story sometimes, because we're so inundated with just their needs so often. And that's part of what we do. And I welcome those things. I mean, it's... I don't know about you, but I thrive in those moments where I can just care for them in a specific way. But it's as I leave that situation, you know, where am I at now?
Yeah, it still does tie in, because there's so mm-hmm. many things that happened in the past year, whether it's COVID related. It's mm-hmm. it's, you know, just church is a mess right now. I mean, can we just name that? Like,
yeah.
Church is a mess, not just Church of the Brethren, not just, you know, Evangelical Western Church, Eastern Church. Like, it just feels like church is a mess. I know so many pastors, so many church leaders, you know, so many board chairs and deacons, like, they're just scratching their head like, man, there's just been a tidal wave of stuff. And so, like, it's okay for churches to be like, man, we are struggling.
Yeah.
And so many times, like, we only relate church struggle to, like, attendance and finances. And there's so much more to church life than that. Churches could have a fine bank account and have a fine attendance number and still just be struggling through things. And so it's okay to name that, because mm-hmm. if not, it's, I don't know, it's different.
It is. Yeah.
So just a word of encouragement for all you pastors, church leaders out there, like, you're not the only one who might be struggling right now.
Right, right. And always remember that. Always remember that. So, well, John, this has been good.
It's been good. Sit down.
It's good to sit down and get back and just do these things. Talk about where we've been. Talk about what we're experiencing. Talk about things that may relate to new topics that we might talk about. You know, hopefully that some of our listeners, as you're hearing these things, it'll trigger something in you that you might say, you know, I'd like for you to talk about this. And you never know. You might ask, and we might ask you to join us. And, you know, if you're open to it, and share what your thoughts are, and, you know, how do you experience certain activities or certain feelings in ministry and things that are going on in your own life. And for those that are just starting out, you know, how do you deal with it in this moment? You know, I think about Brandon, who's going through the beginning stages, and he's working through trim and a variety of things. And I know we're mentioning him here. He's not going to mind us doing that, I don't think. But, you know, he's sort of a person I would think about. And there's a lot like him who are just in the midst of the beginnings of it, still trying to understand what it means to be where we've been at times and what will happen.
Yeah.
It's not all good.
It's not all good.
One of the gentlemen that... did pass away, one of the things he'd always would tell us in Sunday school was, "I one of the things I want to tell Jesus when I meet him is, why didn't you just say in the Bible that it's not a bed of roses?"
You know,
the life is not a bed of roses. And we said, yeah, and he's probably already told him, because he's passed away and he's up there. He's probably already told Jesus that. And Jesus said, well, you know.
Yeah, it's not always good, but God always is, man. I mean,
God is always available here and listens to us.
Yeah.
And cares for us.
Yeah.
And we care for one another.
Amen to that, brother. Amen to that. So, well, we hope you enjoyed the first podcast back. We got a couple of things working. And we hope you enjoyed the new logo.
Yeah, we hope you enjoy that. And
I mean, put down a magnet, put it on your fridge, and I guarantee you it'll be the best diet program you ever had. And you go to get yourself a piece of pie and look at that mug, you'd be like, nah, I think I'm good.
The one thing I'm looking forward to with the new logo is it's t-shirt ready.
Yeah, we can make it happen.
It is one that can be put on a t-shirt. And
I don't know if I want my face on a shirt, though. I don't know. Maybe a pair of socks, like, so you can cover it up or something.
Oh, okay.
Like the back of it. I don't know.
But it'll go on a mug anyway, I'm sure.
Oh, it'll go somewhere.
Yeah. Well, we can't just have a new logo and not use it for anything, but just
two preachers
on the the Facebook page.
That's it. Two Preachers Talking. We have faces for radio.
So it's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be good.
I think this is going to be a good season. We have a few things we want to talk about. I mean, we're closing in on September. It's hard to believe it's going to be the middle of September here. We move into October. One of the things we've already discussed is how we'll treat October, because that's normally Pastor Appreciation Month.
Yeah.
So we're going to do some things. We probably should just say that, if there's pastors out there who want to just kind of reflect on that, send us a note that says, how's the church treated you at Pastor Appreciation? What are some of the things that you've done or have received, and how has the church welcomed you? So that'd be a good starting point, John. We might as well get it out now so that.
I like it.
Because that's what, in a couple, 3 weeks, I guess, it'll be October.
Yeah.
So, wow. Enjoy watching some football this evening if you watch it. I may be flipping back between that and, I guess, there's a college game and then some baseball, too.
It's going to be fun.
This is a good part of the year because there's all kinds of sports going on.
That's it, man. Enjoy. Fall's the best.
Racing on Sunday.
Racing to a nap, maybe.
Well, yeah, that's me, too. I would just like to say thanks for listening to the podcast. We do value you as a listener and hope that you've enjoyed what you've heard on this episode. Please tell your friends that they can find us on Podbean and iTunes. And as a listener, if you like what you hear, please rate the podcast. Maybe even give a comment. And if you don't like it, well,
keep it to yourself.
Keep it to yourself. You can connect with us on Facebook or email us at 2ptpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
God's best on your day.
Thanks for listening to the Two Preachers Talking podcast. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter, or connect with the show by emailing 2ptpodcast@gmail.com. Join us next time for another episode of the Two Preachers Talking podcast.